Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we go, away on a Friday, a game day for Nebraska, not in Lincoln necessarily, but game day nonetheless. Welcome into Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop with three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha. One guy I know is not grilling tonight is Jay Foreman. Can't be grilling during game time, Jay. Gotta grill ahead of time.
Oh, I'm out of here at 4:55. I'll be home. 5:25. I already have the meat season from the Mercado. I got a tomahawk steak. Actually, I have four of them.
Hello. One for each quarter.
One for each quarter, but four dog bones. And let the dogs have a little bit of a joyous, because this game's going to be over at halftime. I got some people coming over. They're going to, you know, partake in some of the... I got homemade macaroni and cheese that my daughter made.
No blue cheese, right?
No blue cheese.
She learned?
She knows it. She knows. She was the first one that told me don't do the blue cheese, excuse me.
But you just couldn't help yourself.
And you had to try it. Yeah, we're going to eat right, and we're going to, I guess.
And so are the Huskers?
The Huskers are going to eat the Gophers. So that's like a squirrel. If I was going to cook squirrel or a gopher, it would definitely have to brine it for a couple of days because it's tough meat.
Soften it up.
Mm-hmm. I'd smoke it because you can't go wrong with that. Leave it and just leave it or put it in the crock pot.
How about that?
Gopher stew or something. The funny thing is Ron Johnson, who's he's going through it right now, that both his daughters play softball. So he's getting into the dad, coach, you know, former athlete and all that. And his dad played for the Steelers. Unfortunately, he passed away, but, you know, he's going through it right now. A few years ago when I was on another show, he would be able to stand on business. He knows what's going to happen. he knows
what time. Listen, it is.
Early this morning, he had Sipple talking his stuff. I texted in. He didn't say anything. Listen, the quarterback is garbage. The second string running back is average at best. The offensive line is average at best. They have one wide receiver that would probably be the fourth receiver here at best. The defense is slow. And I've been holding all week. You got a white cornerback. I'm just being honest. You got a white quarterback. Listen, everybody.
White boy Wednesday became white boy Thursday, turned into white boy Friday.
Exactly. Listen, everybody watch right now. Number 17 is a, and this is, I don't even want to get into it. Listen, he's an inept cornerback that's always in the chase position. You got stiff hips, you don't have quick twitch, and you don't have long speed.
0 for 3, brother.
So I'm telling you right now, if I'm the wide receiver coach, and I love Coach Shorts, Dane Key, if you do not fry this dude all game, listen, I'm trying to get my stats back right on this dude. You know what I'm saying?
I got a day 2 draft party to attend.
It's like when Larry Bird said he felt his disrespect that what a white dude was a guarding him.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful for 17.
And Dane Key's your brother, light skin for the win.
At all times.
I've been listening.
At all times. I've been trying to get him. I tried to tell him, like, man, you need to come over here and get some greens and some neck bones. We got to get you back in. Because I got a little bit more caramel than him. But this Minnesota team. You know what was crazy, Austin? When we were down at and you knew this, we talked kind of, obviously, this dude here, man. See?
Now, switching over to stream.
This is the problem.
Jeez. Oh, no, that's not
this
going on.
This is the stream. Problem.
Boo.
This is the problem. You don't have to worry about odd enemies when your former teammates are just in close proximity. It's a rhyme. Look at him.
They can't. Luckily for us, our stream is not switching.
But here's the deal. No, to be honest with you, when we heard PJ Fleck, when he talked about the team last year, and he was really honest, They were six plays away probably from potentially being in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
Probably more like four plays. Take the two that he was, the other last two that he talked about were like end of the half Hail Mary. You know what I'm saying? So you're four plays away from potentially being there. So then he sold this kind of, we're close. No, you ain't.
Well, maybe they were close last year, but last year's team is not this year's team.
They lost six draft picks that made opening day rosters that are playing. That's huge for a team like it's huge for a team like Nebraska. Six guys from the team last year are NFL players. So now you're playing a team that had remorse for not letting the quarterback be the best that he could be. You lost a receiver that obviously if the quarterback's not going to be the best he could be, then he couldn't. You lost two defensive starters and a really good safety in Newbin. Mm-hmm. And now you have a team that has...
Well, then down your offensive tackle.
You're down offensive lineman, which has kind of been the equalizer, or really the bell cow.
You lost two day two or better guys in the last 2 years,
right?
Center and left tackle.
And then your running back is hurt, which mm-hmm. is kind of your ultimate equalizer in this game because he can play running back, slot, and he's a former wide receiver. And your quarterback has only played six games. So essentially, Nebraska's playing another freshman. Mm-hmm. Do we still have a sponsorship with the casino?
Warhorse Casino? Yes, they are advertising with us.
It is now 3:08. I implore you to get in your car right now and drive to the Warhorse Casino and put as much money as you can possibly afford on Nebraska to cover. It is going to be 31-10 at the low end. I've been holding this all week. I've been watching this team. I don't even know how. I mean, I know they struggle. First of all, Purdue ran for 250 some yards, mm-hmm. but they could have passed for 250 some yards as well. Right. Yeah. Barry Odom wanted to play the game tight the vest. The other Minnesota was able to win. But when I saw them against Cal, I stayed up and watched them against Cal. I said, this is the team that makes a coach that makes a coach go get another job. Mm. So as much as the focus on Penn State has been here and at Big Ten Network for Urban Meyer, because mm-hmm. it's Urban Meyer, Matt Rhule, PJ Fleck is sitting here and you're just waiting in the wing. But now we get to play his team. That's the defense is good up the middle as far as the defensive tackles. Not as good on the outside, and definitely inept on the, I guess, the back end. And we have the advantage special teams-wise, finally. This is how you're able to get on the national scene for Nebraska. You probably won't play a ranked team for the rest of the year, but this is a bowl game right now. It's kind of a middle-of-the-season bowl game. It's kind of... The one thing, I call this the PJ Fleck Open, mm-hmm. a Friday night game. But I feel like this is a PJ Fleck Open, but a look-see into Nebraska. Meaning, even though Minnesota's not ranked, you beat the brakes off of them. You kind of, you know, verify what you're ranked, but then also set you up in the future no matter who you're playing. Mm-hmm. Because right now, you do this, you're set up perfectly to run the table. Notre Dame's probably going to beat USC. USC is going to come in here at either Big Ten or Big Noon kickoff or whatever, or night game, and get the brakes beat off them, unranked. And then Penn State at that point in time, it's a portal team, and whoever the new coach is, they're right for the picking on senior day. And then obviously you got Iowa at the crib on our senior day. That's a straight L. So you're talking about being 10-2, 9-3, 11-1.
If you handle business tonight. When you handle business tonight.
When you handle business tonight, now everybody can set forth their holiday plans as far as going to the Nebraska game, including us here at the ticket.
Indeed.
Because it's not going to just be Nick Saner going to the game. It's going to be Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, DP, and we're going to cover the game because we're going to be going to not only potentially
one postseason game, but two.
Not bad. You know, when it's 40 below zero.
Not bad plan.
Yeah.
Also not a bad plan, the Steve Stevens Money Management Plan. Maybe you're unfamiliar with the Steve Stevens Money Management Plan. You want to make a quicker $1,000. You can do so with our Cash Blitz keyword. Text 508-777-1000. Text RENT, R-E-N-T. As Jay Form say, the rent is due, R-E-N-T. Text it to 508-777-1000 for your chance to win $1,000. Doing that for another couple weeks here on The Ticket. We have four words a day for you, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. here leading off Old School. 402-464-5685. Going to be a part of the show. Got plenty of comments on YouTube as well. 4107 says, can't bet on Nebraska in Nebraska, I thought. Eric says, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Jay. Bookmark it in your phone.
I don't bet.
Smart man.
But there's somewhere, someone in this vicinity that has seen Steve. You've heard of, now Austin, now let's have the moment of truth here. Okay, at 3:12 p.m. You heard about the Steve Steven Money Management.
And then I saw it in
action. Hold on. I tried to get Nick to understand it. Mm-hmm. And what did he do?
I got it. I've done this before.
They Generation Z? You don't X, you don't know what you're talking about. But then you saw it, right?
Mm-hmm. Live and in color.
Live and in color. So, an unknown texter. The thing about it is when I'm telling you right now, what's the spread right now? What is it? 8.5?
Last I saw was 7.5.
7.5? Listen. Nebraska is going to beat this team by mid double digits or more. Period.
Mid teens or more?
Yeah, mid teens. Oh, I just double mid teens for sure. So it's golden.
Like a gopher.
So if you put $100 down, I don't know what whatever you make, because number one, even if Nebraska turns the ball over at the rate that they did last week, they're still going to win by double digits. And if they just do it half the time, so if you just say, okay, one turnover, you're talking about 17, 18 point differential. Minnesota cannot move the ball. They don't have anybody that can stretch the field. They don't have explosive offense. That's not even their game. Mm-hmm. And I feel more comfortable with Nebraska as far as like being able to scheme up different things to take away what they're going to do to be in the game. And then eventually, Dylan's going to get it going.
Gorilla Bear, is this financial advice? No, this is financial gospel, my friend. It's not advice.
It's financial advice and gospel. Book it. If you think Nebraska's going to beat Minnesota tonight by 7 points, or 8 points, I don't even do it. I mean, I don't even know how to even. All the only thing I like watching is, Scott Van Pelt with the bad bets? But I just know that this game right here is just set up for Nebraska to blow these dudes out the frame. Minnesota's defense played 88 snaps last week, or 80 some snaps last week
against Purdue,
and got 100 or 250 yards ran against them. Plus, on a short week with Emmett coming back, okay. And this is the one thing
off a heater.
Listen, when it's personal, there's a difference. And I kind of just let Emmett do his thing because it's about Emmett. I'm a old has-been. But I'm going to tell you one thing when it's personal. When I was coming up, Minnesota did not recruit me. Mm-hmm. All right? I desperately wanted to go to Minnesota because, as much as I try to act like I'm a tough guy, I felt like, well, first of all, I know when I was down here, I was homesick. So I felt like the closer that I was, the better. Right? Family and friends. Minnesota didn't recruit me. At all. Kevin Sumlin.
Kevin Sumlin. Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver coach at Minnesota at the time had approached my dad at J.D. Hoyt. So if anybody's listening, I know you're at the Husker Bar. J.D. Hoyt is my spot. If I go back to Minneapolis for 24 hours, I'm going there to eat. And asked him, would me walk on? My dad proceeded to cuss him out in public.
At J.D. Hoyt's.
Now, I didn't know that until afterwards. It did affect my confidence that Nebraska, Miami, and all these other schools were recruiting me and not Minnesota. So I know exactly. I didn't get to play Minnesota. But my payback was winning two national championships, pretty much giving away one in 96, on the road at 97 at Washington. And the coach that didn't recruit me was calling the game. This is, I've never said this story before. I've never said it on air. I think it was in my book or whatever. So his name is Jim Wacker, came from TCU. He was calling the game. So we had, we'd go there, have a walkthrough, walk down the tunnel, you know, do our thing. I saw him. I did run over to him and give him some pleasant hellos and told him I was the reason why he got fired. Emmett's playing like that tonight. When I didn't realize, I see, here's what people don't understand, I guess, about Emmett. So I knew Emmett in the seventh grade because he dated one of my biggest rivalries' daughter that I reconnected with through coaching basketball. And he was like, hey, this kid right here is a really good running back. And then I was down there helping with Scott, and Emmett was on his official visit. But I already kind of knew of Emmett beforehand. He was a great kid like he is now. So I don't understand what he's doing tonight. He's got his friends and family there, but also his personal. So I can tell you, guaranteed tonight, 21 is going to get down like never before. Because if they let him. And it's going to be strategic, too. And he's not going to come out of that game. He's, when you're there to prove a point, it's different. And I had a little bit of it where the coach got fired and I got to see him, where Emmett gets to see these guys in real time. And it's an undermatched Minnesota team. And you're at home. And you don't play him next year.
Right.
So if Emmett comes back for his senior year, which obviously assume he will, you don't see him. So now you're going to leave that lasting impression. So it's going to be, it's going to be a barrage of a little bit more uptick, because I think the team rallies around Emmett more than anybody, considering what he's been able to do this year.
Type of guy he is, what he's meant to the program. And I think really his journey. I mean, he was on that team in 2023, but he was the backup to the backup. He was third string, didn't get his chance till late in the year. Anthony Grant was the starting running back that year, had the bad fumble that helped Minnesota get back into the game. And then last year, right, splitting time with Dante Dowdell. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? Who is the guy? Who do they want? But then this year, unquestioned starter. I think he's still proving something to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd say they believe in him. I get it. And they didn't go after anyone in the portal. But this is the same coaching staff that, okay, made him earn it as a freshman. Then last year, Emma Johnson was a better running back than Dante Dowdell. It took till week nine.
It took till Dana came in.
Yeah.
And then you start to see it. But then you go into offseason, he went in the portal, came out of the portal. You know, the one thing about Emmett is I don't get on here and talk about the personal relationship, right? And Emmett's from Minnesota, obviously. But the one thing about, like, Emmett is he has a really good head on his shoulders. And the one thing I always tried to always softly tell guys is, like, listen, don't get too comfortable. I've been there at the pro level. So this is professional sports. I remember being the starter with Greg Williams and Jerry Gray, and they were like, let's see what you can do. So he's taken on the thing of, I'm going to verify and show you what I already know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think you're getting, the ability to make guys miss, the consistent play, the understanding week in and week out, he has to answer the bell, because he has never forgotten what he felt like for 75% of the year last year.
Right.
If Dana Holgorsen doesn't come in as a, I guess, consultant and then offensive coordinator, Emmett Johnson might not be here. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, straight up.
And so
straight
now, mm-hmm. So I think he understands it, and I think everybody else will be able to feast off of it, because the wide receivers will, you know, look, PJ Fleck and those guys are going to try to stop him from running. They had a porous run defense against Purdue. And so you got to think, as far as Hunter, Danke, Barney, Lindemeyer, I guess, as well.
Well, like you said, Dylan has one read.
Yeah.
Who's 17 got.
Right. Yeah, hey. Hey, man. I don't know what – I know he played at Iowa, so he might get a benefit of the doubt. His parents need to tell him that you need to think about playing strong safety or something.
Either move further back or further up, if possible.
Because it's not just covering. It's just that he doesn't want to hit. And I will tell you this. Number three is probably, for Minnesota, he's probably the best athlete on the field. Mm-hmm. As far as 40, vertical athletic ability. He is the best athlete on the field.
Corey Parrish, for those of you keeping track of
Corey Parrish, bar none. He might be one of the top 10 to 15 athletes in the nation.
He wants to be Cooper DeJean 2.0.
Yeah, okay. So let's the worst case scenario is top 20. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about in any league.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from. If I was a running back coach, if he tackles you in the open field, that's two gassers. Mm. He doesn't want to hit. I was pleasantly disappointed in his game. I was pleasantly like.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Like, surprised and verified of his athletic ability, more than disappointed in his ability to really jump into the deep end and really get physical.
You're saying he should play receiver.
I'm saying he should be a free safety versus strong safety. Mm-hmm. So it's Nebraska's job to make him into a strong safety, meaning making him get in there and mix it up because he doesn't want to hit. And if you can get 17-3 on the same side, I think Nebraska leads the nation in run after catch, right? Is that what?
I haven't heard that, but
I think it's
probably
over 1,000 yards. Yeah. I mean, they're one of the top 5 or 10 after the catch. Check 17 and check 3. So that's where, I mean, obviously there's more to it. Nebraska defense has to play well. Minnesota's going to try to really major in the run game. They're going to run left to the left side and outside zone. They're going to, I guess, dress it up any way possible. Motion, shifts, run to the boundary, outside zone, make Nebraska play football or technique sound football, and then make their safeties come down and really fill in the alley. But ultimately, Nebraska is a way better team for the first time in probably 10 years. I mean, I know we didn't play Minnesota, 9 straight years, but over the last 10 years, that I guess take the from the time that Mike Riley's team lost to the third team quarterback and he became Big Ten Player of the Year, mm-hmm. right? Remember, they went on a run of 3 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. From that game on, I felt like Nebraska played under their competition level, but Minnesota was pretty good. This game here, Nebraska is significantly better. They have a significant advantage at the quarterback position. They have been playing better. And so this is a game where the scale really tips toward Nebraska, blowing this game wide open, no matter what Minnesota does.
I would love to be able to get to your confidence level in Nebraska. I think Nebraska wins tonight when it's all said and done. Going into this game, I'm putting this one, and I explained this with Bach a little bit before, in the Nebraska has a great opportunity to win, but I'm not willing to use the magic word Nebraska should win. When I think about a game Nebraska should win, Jay, that's what I think about with like Northwestern next week. Team's clearly down, not playing that well, not that talented, and Nebraska has a mental edge. I would like to think Nebraska has a mental edge. Nebraska's got to prove it. This is one that if a game is a should-win game, Nebraska's up at half, hopefully comfortably. They put the game away in the third quarter, and they coast in the fourth.
And they put in TJ Lateef and all that, and then when everybody starts to talk about how great TJ Lateef played.
I can't promise that. I hope that for Nebraska. I like what you're saying, and I think if it is 31-10, then that's like, okay, we're good.
We're locking step together. If there's ever a chance or ever an opportunity, because this is a tremendous opportunity. This whole season is a tremendous opportunity because really you probably might, there's a high chance that you might not play a ranked team for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. If Notre Dame beats USC, they're out of the top 25.
Yeah.
And Nebraska's the ranked team, mm-hmm. So forth. Then so finally you're the team that's ranked and not, then we can get into all that. But this is a game that will show the maturity of one thing. Number one, winning a road game after Maryland, winning mm-hmm. two road games in a row. That hasn't happened since 2006.
06.
And then beating a team that has had their way with you from a mental advantage, now you've gotten over that. So that's step number two. And then number three, doing exactly what you're supposed to do and what you said you were going to do. So it's showing stand on business ability and then maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And then also seizing the opportunity. This game means a lot more than the scoreboard. This means that you're actually like in your head or in that locker room outside of the social media stuff and all that. You're actually moving towards, slowly but surely, moving towards what you said you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Versus you go up there against a undermatched team and play kickball with the football, and then you come down to the last like 8 minutes of the game and you pull it out.
Yeah.
This is a game you should be from start to finish. You're the better team. Find a way to dominate them and then find a way to remedy with the things we talked about on Old School. What? Going into halftime and coming out of mm-hmm. halftime. And then obviously turning the keys over to the guys that, ran scout team and all that, you know, coming down the stretch.
Nebraska has either led or been tied at halftime now in 10 consecutive games. It would be another great night to do that tonight on the road in Minneapolis. I'll say this to close, Jay. You don't get very many chances to curb stomp Minnesota. You better take advantage. It's not going to be easy.
No.
You're going to have to do it. But no, I think this is a game that this is going to be a game where maybe Nebraska doesn't have the explosive moments like it did against Michigan State necessarily. But I do think this is a game that Nebraska, over the course of 60 minutes,
yeah.
can be, 5% better, 6% better, 7% better. And then by the end of the game, you look back and you're like, oh, that was Nebraska yeah. by the teens. There wasn't this one turning point moment where it yeah. all clicked for Nebraska and they went on a 20-point run. This is a game that I think if Nebraska is more talented, like you're saying, and like I agree, this is a game I think Nebraska outscores Minnesota in all four quarters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want against a team like Minnesota, because you want to slowly but surely put the dagger in the heart with them.
And twist.
And then watch them slowly but surely wither away because of how they play. Essentially what you're doing is you're beating Minnesota the same way that they beat you in the past, but then also you're putting your exclamation point on it. Because as you start to really wear them down, right,
mm-hmm.
and methodically start to kind of increase the lead, then explosive chances will come up. And then that will remedy all the questions around it. And then you got to move on after that. You're halfway through the season. All the kind of like kid games and playing around with your food needs to go, because this is a time, especially in these next 2 weeks, to really springboard yourself to bigger and better things. And it starts with Minnesota tonight at 7:05, probably kickoff or whatever, against the Gophers.
Just a few hours away from kickoff. We'll be here the whole time, taking you right up to kick. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. Half an hour left of Old School, and then the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show. Nebraska, Minnesota coming up later tonight. We'll be back another half an hour of Old School after this.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along here on Old School. A lot of people to thank, including the Mercado by Certified Funktees, our friends at the Lincoln Children's Museum, and the great people at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Still nice weather for now, but not for long. If you need new windows, need better insulation, give them a call or check them out online, heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Couple statistical comparisons to bring your way here, Jay, fresh from the Nebraska game notes. You think about Minnesota as a strong running team. Minnesota, 116th in the Big Ten and 114th out of, I think, 136 teams nationally, 112 yards per game. Nebraska, not much better at only 140 yards per game, 11th in the Big Ten and 90th in the country. But I think especially for Minnesota, and you see that they're bottom three in the Big Ten. Obviously, some of that's on Taylor's injury.
Yeah.
But man, Minnesota, you would think, would be one of those schools that could withstand the loss of Darius Taylor because of consistent offensive line play. And I think to your point, that just hasn't been there for them in the run game.
I mean, look, when you're putting first, second, third, fourth round picks into the league consistently through or from a school like Minnesota, eventually it's going to bottom out. I mean, they have the redshirt freshman starting at right tackle, and he's probably the main guy that display some nastiness. He's number 50, mm-hmm. and he's a redshirt freshman. And they've had some injuries. Then they also lost Phillip Daniels Jr., who's starting at Ohio State. That was supposed to be their next guy in line. Mm-hmm. Didn't play as much as he liked last year, but now he's starting at the Ohio State. So it's you're losing two players, the one that you develop there and then the one that's at Ohio State. And then the I guess it's three, the one that you aren't able to replace with apples for apples. The offensive line, which then made their defensive line more than capable, was their, I guess, like their off-speed pitch, their curveball, and allowed them to beat some teams, but then more importantly, be very, very consistent over PJ Flex and also Jerry Kill's, you know, tenure. Mm-hmm. And they'll be back. I think it's a little bit of a down year as far as offensive line, but it's also, when I say this, it's a credit to what they had in the past. And so if you go out there and play like, oh, they're not as good as they used to be, they're still very capable.
Well, you said you get same kind of vein as Michigan.
Yeah.
Not what it was.
Right.
Still good enough to cause you problems if you don't take the fight to that.
And they got significantly better from Oklahoma, Central Michigan to Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then Nebraska punched themselves in the face. And so I think that lesson from Michigan hopefully allows them to come in here and try to, you know, change their mindset from survival to domination.
Other stats I find interesting, third downs offensively, Nebraska 7th in the Big Ten, but 27th in the country, converting third downs on offense at 47%. That's a really good mark. On the flip side, Minnesota down below 40% conversion on third down, 15th in the Big Ten. Third down defense, also interesting. Nebraska holding opponents to 26.6% conversion rate on third down, 8th in the country, 3rd in the Big Ten. Jay, again, you think about Minnesota doing the little things, the money downs. Minnesota's not been nearly as good there. They're middle of the pack in the Big Ten and nationally, allowing opponents to convert 40% of the time.
Well, you look at it, first of all, from their offensive standpoint, their quarterback is a statue, 6'5", 235 to 40 pounds. He's a pocket passer, a big physical quarterback. They went with him from
McManus. Well, they had Brosmer last year. After Kelly McManus started in 23.
Right, but Brosmer gave you a little bit more of that.
Tanner Morgan style.
Tanner Morgan on steroids,
yeah.
But they didn't use him to that point.
Right.
Where Minnesota was dangerous when they had Tanner Morgan and Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner Morgan was still a RPO threat, but more of a pocket passer. And then when Kramer came in, you knew he was an RPO threat, but then he could throw as well. So then you were literally playing defense and apprehensive versus where they're at now. They're not able to be very effective on third down from an offensive standpoint because they don't have the Tyler Johnson at a wide receiver or a tight end or
Rashad Bateman or Chris Dutman Bell.
Something like
even
that.
Even a Daniel Jackson.
The guys that were ultimate equalizers on the outside and not a tight end as well. So now it puts more pressure on their defensive third down or defensive unit on third down where they're not probably as effective as the linebacker position of making up for, I guess, the mistakes of nickels and all that. And from experience, you got two inexperienced linebackers playing wise to go with a porous tackling in particular corner, right cornerback and safety. So if you have the perfect play call, and this is what I mean, if you're listening, and we did this yesterday on the Whiteboard Wednesday Black Shirt Breakdown, I posted my YouTube as well, is that you could have the perfect call, but the worst execution. And then if you have the perfect call and somewhat good execution, and Jay Foreman and Austin Orman missed the tackle, if you do that over six games and you do it four times, that probably changes your third down percentage by 15%.
Yeah.
Just me and you.
Yeah.
Let alone
anything else. Literally anything else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Them having the perfect call for the bad call for defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you go from a under the radar top 10 defensive team prior to losing Rossi to average at best in the Big Ten and below average nationally especially on third down.
Minnesota, 11th in scoring defense in the Big Ten, 50th in the country, allowing just 21 points per game. But again, 11th in the Big Ten, third down defense. Red zone defense as well, Jay, 11th. Minnesota's allowing its opponents to score 85% of the time when they enter the red zone, which is better than Nebraska. 90% of opponent trips to the red zone have ended there. But I think, too, when you think about Minnesota, you can even use their game against Purdue as a pretty illustrative example where Minnesota goes on a 14-play, 70-yard drive, aided by two face mask penalties. The Minnesota run game isn't the same power-based unit in terms of the execution of the plays that it has been before. They're not a sure thing once they get inside the 20. Like you said, special teams is different. They lose two of their three specialists in that regard as well. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a stoppable force, movable object matchup inside the 20s. But I like Nebraska's ability to maybe score from outside of that in a couple different areas.
Yeah, offensively, Nebraska can, I guess I'll call it mini explosive play Minnesota to death, right? Mm-hmm. Run after the catch, intermediate passing game, make somebody miss, house call.
Yeah.
And then I think as far as them being vulnerable in the pass game or in the run game in the red zone, sets up the play action pass and any of the, you know, kind of nuances that Dana Holgorsen wants to do off of that offensively. So this is a great game to be able to do whatever you need to do, but then you just, the hard part is going out there and do it defensively. The fact that Taylor is out in conventional run game helps, but more importantly in the pass game.
Yeah.
Because one missed tackle at, let's say, midfield, you can rally to it. One missed tackle in the red zone, strike up the band, here comes the field goal unit. So I think this game really is going to come down to, can Nebraska be mature enough to do whatever they need to do?
To swing that sword.
And do you have the heart right now as a player to go out there? And this is where you're at in this season. Can you go to another level? Are you comfortable with just skating by?
Right.
Are you, I guess, invested enough to do something maybe that your personality doesn't want to do?
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge game. You can become bowl eligible as fast as nice Mike Riley. You can really set yourself up to really play with house money since we're, you know, talking about Steve Stevens. But then also it can set yourself up to really make some noise nationally. And if you want to have somebody to compare yourself to, which you should not do, but if you want a kind of already done it intangible program, looking at Illinois or not, looking at Indiana, they didn't really play any ranked teams. They beat Nebraska when we were ranked,
mm-hmm.
Lost to Ohio State when they were ranked,
mm-hmm.
Lost to Notre Dame, but you saw how they were able to make some noise.
Well, they made some noise by stomping on people they were clearly better than.
Right.
Putting them away, not giving them a chance for the first 8 weeks of the season.
That's exactly what everybody's been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Are you ruthless enough to go on a 38-minute flight to Minneapolis against a team that you normally have troubles with, and then now you get off the plane where you are significantly better talent-wise and been playing better-wise,
mm-hmm.
and have no qualms about it of embarrassing them on the Minnesota Open and playing through PJ Fleck having his team motivated, all the BS, and just say, you know what, we're here to do business. We're going to, you know, kick your tail, get on the plane and go back home,
mm-hmm.
and get an extra day's rest. Like, almost be mad that we got to play on Friday night.
Be mad that you got to make the 38-minute flight. This could be the crib.
There's all things you can do, and this is where they're at. I mean, all the, like, you know, this is the game that where you got to leave all the social media and all that stuff out of there, mm-hmm. and you know that, and just say, okay, we about to go back to medieval times, and we're going to take you out. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's what you have to do.
We're about to go back to break. We'll wrap up Old School. We'll get you set up for official pregame right after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, we don't got much time. We'll get right to it. Jay, very quickly. Tomorrow on College Game Day, James Franklin joining the set.
Man.
What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't think he's going to go scorched earth or anything like that. I think he's going to play it close to the vest and be very like engaging and set himself up for having a year of golf, family, and TV time through the college football playoffs, because he can really give you an insight that nobody on that set can give, because he was recently in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
Sure, he can talk glowingly about Penn State and kind of tiptoe around why he got fired, how he got fired, but ultimately I think he's setting himself up to be employed once again very soon.
The only other question I have for you: did James Franklin and his people reach out to ESPN, or did ESPN reach out to him? What do you think?
I think ESPN reached out to him. I mean, he's a quote, you know, waiting to be had. He has an engaging personality. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, why not? And plus he said yes. So the thing that will really set it off, he got something to get off his chest.
Please.
But I don't think so. I think it's just one of those.
He seems like too good a guy from the outside, but there have been some stories from the inside. People say he's questionable at best.
I think he got drunk off the smallness of State College, but also I think with a new AD, Adidas not maybe not wanting him to be representative. There were some things that probably were out of his control, and that's what you might see inadvertently tomorrow.
Hear it, but not hear it. Read between the lines.
He'll drop some nuggets.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Tomorrow game day. Keep paying attention right here. Got a bunch of you listening on YouTube. Really appreciate that. In about 3 minutes, refresh your YouTube page. A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show stream will be up. Jay and I will be back briefly. But first, Jake Sorensen, Steve Sipple, A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate pregame show.